The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
So, what I'd like to do is go ahead and jump right into my message this morning. You know, I've been talking about unwrapping the gifts, and we've been talking about the gifts of the Spirit. But today I want to, just kind of change direction a little bit because I want to talk about unwrapping counterfeit gifts. How many know that God's gifts, the enemy has counterfeit gifts to every gift that God has? Absolutely. We got to understand he's not creative. He just takes God the gifts that God intended for good. He turns them to evil and packages them differently. And it's important that we understand these counterfeit things. But the most important thing is that we understand the real gifts. The real gift overall is the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's the gift. And he distributes these grace gifts in our lives and in our church. And that's why that we can operate in those things in our life. It's not just church. It's not just when we gather together. These gifts are supposed to be in operation in our life so that we have one up on the enemy. I'm going to tell you something. The enemy's camp is operating in their supernatural gifts all the time. They don't just when they get together. They're operating in these gifts. There are supernatural gifts that are being used and utilized by the enemy's camp. And we have to recognize that the enemy is on the prowl. We have been warned that Satan comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. We've been warned that he's like a roaring lion, that he prowls around looking for somebody that he can devour. And one of the ways he does that is through these counterfeit gifts that we're talking about this morning. So let's talk a little bit about this. First of all, I'd like to tell you that before Tammy left, she went shopping and she bought a dress. And when she came home with that dress, she was all excited about buying her dress, and she said it's a beautiful dress, and I really love this dress. And of course, after we talked about it for a little while, I said, "And how much did you pay for it?" And she said, $500. I said, "What?" She said, $500. I said, "What? What is wrong with you? How could you spend $500 on a dress?" And she said, "Well, it's like Satan was talking to me. I put the dress on and I looked in the mirror and Satan said, 'Boy, that looks good. Boy, you got to have that dress. You better buy that dress before somebody else does.'" So she went out and bought that dress. And I said, "Tammy, you know better than this. You know what the Word of God says. Why didn't you tell Satan to get thee behind you?" She said, "I did." And he said, "Man, it looks good back here too." Now, those of you who know my wife, no, she's not going to spend $500 on a dress. I can't even get her to spend $50 on a dress. If she can't get a deal, she's not going to buy it. That's just the way she is. But I told you that because I believe the enemy does sneak up on us. And some of the ways he sneaks up on us is through these counterfeit gifts that we're going to be talking about this morning. His tactics are not always in your face. His tactics are to sneak up on and capture people, even God's people, through some of these counterfeit gifts. So what we're going to look at is supernatural deception. That's the first point I want to make. And we're going to look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. When you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not learn to follow the abominations of those nations. Now, first thing I want you to understand is God says that the things we're going to be talking about are an abomination. An abomination is a detestable thing. God hates it. He doesn't make room for it at all in our lives. He says, these things make me sick. Stay away from them. So that sets the stage for where we're going this morning. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. You know, that was a practice that they had. They set up an idol, Molech and Baal, and the arms were outstretched. They built a fire in the belly. They put their children in the arms and roll them down into that fire, sacrificing their children. Okay, and we say, well, we don't do that. Well, how many children have been sacrificed to the god of sex and lust and selfishness through abortion? You know, about 60 million. And listen to me, I'm not condemning anyone. If you have been involved, you've had an abortion, you've been involved with an abortion or having somebody have an abortion, there's forgiveness in Jesus Christ. But I want to save as many children as possible. These things are an abomination to our God. So there's healing for those who need healing. There's deliverance for those who need deliverance. But we need to move on in our lives and speak the truth so the world recognizes what the truth really is. The next thing is, he says, and one who practices witchcraft. This is New King James. Or soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or sorcerer. Okay, witchcraft, the Hebrew word here can mean several things, divination, witchcraft, but it's really connected to a fee, that the word that is used here. It's talking about those who charge for those kind of services. You know, there's fortune tellers, okay? You know, people set up, there's been people down through history who have always tried to take advantage of someone by telling them their future. Sometimes it's fake. Most often it's fake. But I got to tell you, it is also real. It's the supernatural on the other side. It's the enemy's tactic to try to deceive people. Soothsayers. The word there covers a whole group of things. It means, figuratively, it means to cover. So it's talking about enchanters, sorcerers, diviners, fortune tellers. A soothsayer can be someone who divines the future through astrology, through omens, through crystals, through all kinds of esoteric means. Someone who interprets omens, a prognosticator, one who whispers magic spells. A sorcerer, which usually is used for a male who is practicing witchcraft. Wiccan, sorcery of all kinds. Verse 11 says, one who conjures spells or medium or a spiritist, one who calls up the dead. We're not to speak to the dead. We're not to try to contact the dead. God has made it perfectly clear that is wrong. A medium is someone who consults the spirit world. A spirit is one who has a familiar spirit. You know what a familiar spirit? It's a spirit that's familiar with them, but it also can be a spirit that is familiar with you. That's why when you go to somebody who is really telling the future, they have this familiar spirit that speaks to them. It tells them things about you. Listen, they can tell you things. That's why you stay away from them. Because they can capture you. It's real. And I'll share some things just as we go through this. A necromancer, and that's one who consults the dead. Basically, when we boil this down, it's any and all occult practices are evil. There's something that God has said, stay away from. Now, there are certain groups that practice occultism, mystics, spiritualists, pagans, Satanists, Wiccans, Druids, New Age practitioners. And I will say this, New Age is not as new as they want you to believe. New Age is old age. It's actually Hinduism repackaged and westernized. So it's an old religion. But it's real when it comes to the supernatural and the things that can happen. We're talking about things like paranormal activities. That's a modern term used to describe just old mystical activities. But there's two areas that I want to share with you, and most of you, you know, I've shared all those things, but there's two areas that you may not necessarily realize is something that is part of the kingdom of Satan, and that is parapsychology, which is the practice of, or the so-called science of ESP, clairvoyance, remote viewing. Trying to think of it, some of the other things that are associated with that. Psychokinesis is one. Have you ever seen somebody who says that they can bend a spoon with their mind or move objects? You know, most of the time that's just fake. But it is happening. In fact, I just saw a documentary this past week of a scientific research that is being done where several people are able to move objects with their mind. It showed one particular guy, they had an instrument set up in front of him, and that instrument had a little cursor on it that could move back and forth pretty easily. And he would sit there without touching anything and move that cursor back and forth. This was a scientific study that was being done. Now, they're trying to say it's the power of the human mind. I believe it's the power of the satanic and demonic spiritual world. Humans don't have that ability. You don't have the ability to walk in words of wisdom, words of knowledge, healing, miracles, tongues interpretation. You don't have the ability to do any of these things. Discerning of spirits, but Holy Spirit that lives inside of you does. And the same thing works on the other side. People have to receive these gifts, if you will, or these abilities through the supernatural demonic realm. There are these two areas. Parapsychology, I'm going to talk about the other one in just a minute. But parapsychology, how many know that our military has used parapsychology, remote viewing and dowsing for many, many years? Since before the Vietnam War. They have been using this stuff, and it has proven to be very accurate for those who have the abilities to operate in it. It's wrong. I'm sorry that our military is involved with it. CIA had a special program where they used people to be able to find things and find out information from other countries through remote viewers, and it's still going on today. It's sad that our government would get involved with satanic things and not recognize the power of God. Well, part of that is because Christians don't act like they even have any power. We're afraid to allow Holy Spirit to minister and to use us and to be able to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. But I can tell you the other side's not afraid. They're using their gifts, their demonic forces and activity to make a difference, and people are sucked in by it. And I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. We're going to be, eventually, they'll be sucked in so far that then the big lie is perpetrated on people. And they'll realize, sometimes they realize that they've been lied to. The other thing I want to share with you, and please stay with me with this because I don't want you to think that I'm crazy. I don't want you to check out on me. Alien abductions. Don't check out. Listen closely because I've got some proof of this stuff. Now, I don't believe in alien abductions, but I do believe something is happening to people. Over 5 million people have reported some kind of an experience which they believe is alien abductions. I believe what they're experiencing is demonic abductions. And the reason I believe that is because there's a gentleman by the name of Joe Jordan. Joe Jordan was a researcher for MUFON. MUFON is a mutual UFO investigation organization. MUFON does all kinds of investigations in abductions and UFO sightings. Now, here's something I want you to think about. When I say UFO, how many think of flying saucers? Okay. I want you to understand we've been conditioned to think of that. But what does UFO really stand for? Unidentified flying object. So we could actually, there's all kinds of unidentified flying objects out there that people see that's not a flying saucer. But as soon as we say flying saucer, that's what our mind goes to because we've been conditioned for that. Okay, back to Joe Jordan. Joe Jordan was a researcher. He was researching mostly abductions. And he was finding out that people's lives were being destroyed by these abductions, emotional and physical manifestations in their life because of these abductions. Joe Jordan found out something. He interviewed a guy, and this guy said to him, listen, I was having these abduction experiences, and I'm a Christian, and I called out to Jesus, and they stopped. Joe said, wow, I've discovered something awesome here. And he started interviewing more people. He found out there were more people said, yes, if I use the name of Jesus, the abduction stopped. So he calls up the people that do investigations, and he tells them what he's found out because he thought he found something that would deliver people and help people from that was new, that had never been discovered before. And when he started talking to the head researchers of abductions and UFO sightings, he found out that they also had people that had told them that the abductions stop when they use the name of Jesus. And he said, okay, then why aren't you telling people that the name of Jesus and you're telling the public that the name of Jesus stops abductions? And they mostly said, well, we don't want to jeopardize our position in MUFON. It's all about position and money. It hasn't changed any over the centuries. It's always been about money. God is not about money. God's about people being delivered and set free. What I want you to know, and you can go check out Joe Jordan yourself and read up on him because he has a tremendous testimony. Not long after that, he got saved, received Christ as a personal Savior. He continues to do research on this, and he has had over 500 people tell him now that the name of Jesus stops abductions. So what does that tell you? It's supernatural, all right. It's abductions, all right, but it's demonic. And the demons cannot stand in the presence of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, when we talk about counterfeit, counterfeit means fake, of course. But it also is substitute. And that's what the enemy has done. He's substituted these different operations and things that I've already mentioned. And I want you to understand that we see these things. Biblically speaking, I want to make sure that you understand that the Bible talks about this stuff and gives us examples. For instance, when Moses went before the Pharaoh, you know, Pharaoh had magicians and sorcerers, soothsayers, all kinds of people. When Moses went before the Pharaoh, Moses threw down his staff because God told him to, and it turned into a serpent. Well, the soothsayers, the magicians said, that's nothing, we can do it too. And they threw down their staff, and they became snakes. My point here is, now, you know, we all know Moses' snake was much more powerful because it was God's, and it swallowed up the serpents and the magicians. But I want you to see that down through history, these things have been used, and people have been connected to the spirit realm through these gifts and magic and sorcery and witchcraft, soothsaying, and all these things that are still alive and operating today in our society. That's how real it is. Do you know that those same magicians were able to duplicate the first two plagues that Moses proclaimed on the Egyptians? Just want you to know, you see, the power of the enemy is great. When we compare it to our human abilities, it's nothing compared to our God.
That's right.
Nothing. In the New Testament, we have an experience that took place, and I want you to know just how serious this situation is with fooling with the sorcery and divination, fortune telling, and all those things. And in the book of Acts, chapter 19, it was a sorcerer who had deceived people, and demons were cast out of him, and he received Christ, and then he kind of reverted back to some of his old ways. And it was an example to the people that, you know, you get it, you have to, once you are set free, you have to rid yourself of all these things and move away from it. Well, in the book of Acts, we also see a situation where the gospel was preached, and some of the Jews are going around preaching Jesus and casting out demons in the name of Jesus that Paul preaches. And when the demons, they come across some really powerful demons, and when they do that, the demons jump on them, tear their clothes off from them, beat them up, and they run out. And people were afraid after hearing about that. And the Bible says this, look at what it says here in Acts chapter 19, verse 18. And many who had believed came confessing and telling their deeds. It frightened them. And their deeds were deeds of witchcraft. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. This is how serious these people were about getting rid of everything in their life that had anything to do with the occult. That's about $1 million in today's currency. Now, we have to understand, books were not readily available like they are to us. Books were scrolls most of the time, and they were painstakingly handwritten, each and every book that they have. So they were a collection of scrolls. And these people took their collection that they paid thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars, each one of them, for these books. And they burnt them because they were serious about their Christianity and being set free. I want to warn you this morning, if you have amulets and any kind of jewelry that might possibly be dedicated to satanic realm for any reason, you have pendants or anything that you suspect that might possibly be connected to the demonic realm, get rid of that stuff. Get it out of your household. I'm telling you this, for your own good. You do what you want. I refuse to allow that stuff in my household because I do not want to live under the curse, and I'm going to share that with you, that comes upon people. The second thing I want to share with you this morning is we are forbidden, absolutely forbidden, to be involved in these things. Deuteronomy 18:12, for all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out before you. Abomination, of course, we know it's a detestable thing. You shall be blameless before the Lord your God. For those nations which you will dispossess, listen to soothsayers, diviners, but as for you, the Lord your God has not appointed such for you. There are consequences, and I'm doing my best to try to warn you this morning. There are consequences for being involved in such things. When King Saul, he rid the kingdom of witches and witchcraft and sorcery, but he got so desperate to hear from God that he went to the witch of Endor. And the witch of Endor called up what she thought was the spirit of Samuel. We don't know for sure what it was. Many believe it was probably a demonic spirit. But regardless of what it was, Saul was cursed by that spirit for doing what he did. He was told, you are not supposed to do this. You know it. And a curse has come upon you. And he actually died a few days later. He was killed in battle. There are horrendous consequences for fooling around with the demonic realm. Regardless of what you think about it, it's real and it will destroy your life. I'm doing my best this morning to warn you about these things. Get them out of your life. They lead, the last thing I want to share with you is they lead to curses and destruction. Isaiah 47:12 says, stand now with your enchantments and the multitude of your sorcerers in which you have labored from your youth. Perhaps you will be able to benefit. Perhaps you will prevail. You are worried in the multitude of your counsels. Let now the astrologers and stargazers and the monthly prognosticators stand up and save you from what shall come upon you. Basically, the prophet was telling them, listen, there's things coming upon you. You're going to be taken away. Many of you are going to be killed. You're going to be isolated in other countries because you have turned your back on your God and you're worshiping false gods. And all these things we talked about was part of their worship, their false god worship. And he's warning them. And when this happens, and you've been worshiping these gods, and you've allowed this satanic realm to come into your life, God is saying, I'm not going to hear you. Go to your prognosticators, to your divination, to your sorcerers. Go to them and find out what they have to say, but they can't save you. Only God can save us. That's why we must turn to our living God and move away from these things. Now, this brings me to some things that I want to share with you this morning in regards to Halloween. I just want to warn everybody about this practice, this holiday that's coming up. I want us to understand that this is not just fun and games. I gave you all the things that the Lord said is evil and we should stay away from. How many believe that there's anything holy about Halloween? I don't have any takers on that. It's pretty obvious to see that it's unholy, right? Ross, you think there's something holy about Halloween? Okay. But about the practice of Halloween, there is nothing holy about it. In fact, it comes from the whole idea of Halloween. You can do your own research. I've done plenty of research on it. Don't come to me and tell me it's All Saints Day. That's the reason that we have. No, is that they did. They tried to set it aside as All Saints Day, but the Catholic Church did to replace the Druidic Celtic worship of demons. But the reality is everything surrounding Halloween is all about the occult. And the cults will tell you it's their holiday. They believe that without a doubt. So Halloween is its remnant and its basis is based in a holiday that the Celtic people used to observe. Which was Samhain. And Samhain was all about the dead. It was the time of the dead. Some of the practices that we have, trick-or-treat comes from the practice that they would put out food to ward off the evil spirits that were coming around during that time. Jack-o'-lanterns, all these things have something to do with the practice of Samhain. And I'm not going to go into all those things. I can give you all kinds of information. I'm not going to bore you with that. If you want to know, you can do your own research. I'm just going to tell you that it is not a godly holiday. Now, am I trying to tell you that if your children go trick-or-treating, they're going to go to hell? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you, be careful what you allow your children to be involved with. What is happening with Halloween? There are certain things that are gateways. How many have ever heard that gateway drugs? They always said that marijuana was a gateway drug. I don't know whether it is or not, but they always said that. Well, the reason they said that was because people who started with smoking marijuana eventually did some other harder stuff and things that would destroy their life. Well, there are some things in our society that are gateways into the occult. Ouija boards that many households have. People have these things in your house. Those are gateways to the occult. And if we're not careful, we'll teach our children and allow our children to believe that this stuff is just fun and games. It's all right. Fortune telling, horoscopes, astrology, all these things are gateways into the occult. And our children are growing up believing that there's nothing wrong with that kind of spirituality. And right now, in our society, we have a very spiritual group of people that are growing up, but they do not necessarily believe in the power of God. They believe in all kinds of spiritual things. And a lot of that is because we have downplayed the reality of the enemy. We act like he's not real. We act like he's some kind of cartoon character that runs around with a pitchfork and a long tail. And that he can't really hurt anybody. He's destroying lives every day. Curses come upon God's people. John Ramirez was involved with an occult group, and I guess you could probably say it was a cult as well, but it was a witchcraft group, and he had been involved with this for about 25 years. He was very high up in New York, and he did things to people and used witchcraft and spells and all kinds of things that to get his way. He was very powerful. But one of the things that he tried to do, he saw a group of young people one time that were out preaching. They were from David Wilkerson Ministries, and they were street preaching. And he said he was determined he was going to go over and disrupt what they were doing because they were preaching about Jesus, and he hated Jesus. And he said every time he tried to go over there, there was some kind of force that just kept pushing him back and pushing him back. He said that was the first time he realized that God was more powerful. God, Yahweh, was more powerful than his God. After a few years, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ and became a believer. But John Ramirez goes around and he warns people about gateways, the things that I talked about, particularly Halloween. He said Halloween is the major satanic holiday. And we need to be careful with our observation of certain things, you know. Be careful. Stay away from the evil side. We can have fun and games with our children. We can make sure they have candy. But, you know, but why make them susceptible to demons and vampires and witches and all those kind of things that we believe maybe we don't. Maybe that's the problem. We don't really believe they're evil. I wonder sometimes. Because that's what the Bible says. Stay away from it. It doesn't say, well, if it's just make-believe, it's okay. No. God commands us to stay away. I think we have a problem with believing that Satan is even real sometimes. Let me share some quotes with you. Doreen Bounty, who is a witch, says, Halloween is one of our four great Sabbaths of witches that everyone has heard about. To witches, Halloween is a serious occasion. Another witch, Sharon Graham, said, Salem, Massachusetts is a mecca, especially around Samhain or Halloween. It is our holiday, our New Year, and a lot of witches come here from all over the world to celebrate. Satanist Anton LaVey, who started the Church of Satan in California, said this about Halloween. The Church of Satan has two major holidays. One of them is Halloween. Anton LaVey also said this, I am so glad that Christians' parents let their children worship the devil at least one night of the year. Then he said, welcome to Halloween. This guy was a Satanist who wrote a satanic Bible and believed in Satan and understood these things. You know, there are certain things that we need to be careful that we suscept our children to. What about Harry Potter? What's Harry Potter about? Magic. Slip spells. And yet so many Christian parents allow their children to watch these things. Do you realize that because of Harry Potter, children now are more interested in the occult than ever before? There are hotlines that are set up for children to call in and talk to witches and to people about witchcraft and how they can get involved. Vampirism. You know, I know people think, oh, that's make-believe stuff, but vampirism is real. People do eat one another's blood, and there's all kinds of craziness that goes along with it, sexual things and satanic practices that go along with that. Let me tell you something. I know that some of you have watched these movies, the Sega, Twilight Sagas. Twilight Sagas have opened the door for more people to be involved with vampirism. Now, before you call me crazy, I want you to think about this a little bit, because I'm wrapping this up. I want you to think, do you really believe that the satanic world is real? Do you really believe that demons are real and that they're operating? Well, I want to challenge you to think about that. We know there are Satanists. We know there are Wiccans and pagans and all these people. They all believe in their craft, whatever it is. And they believe that they're contacting supernatural spirits. Some of them would try to tell you that they're good and they don't do evil, but it's all evil. There is no good witches, no good pagans, no good druids. It's all evil. The individual might attempt to be a good person, but the practice is evil. And God tells us not to be involved with it. But I want to ask you this. Do you think, you know, we love to proclaim Christmas when it's Christmas time. Merry Christmas, we want to tell people. We want people to know that we love Jesus Christ and Jesus is the reason for the season. And we go all out. Well, let me ask you something. Do you believe if somebody who is a Satanist, a Wiccan, I mean, truly on the evil side, and they know what it's all about, a pagan, do you think that they celebrate Christmas the way we do? Do you think they sing hymns and joy to the world? They gather together in their little covens and sing joy to the world. How about, do you think they put manger scenes, nativity scenes in their yard, in their house? They send each other cards that say, Merry Christmas, Jesus is the reason for the season. No, of course not. They're smarter than Christians. And yet, when I look around, I see Christians involved with putting crazy dead signs in their yard, witches, ghosts, glorifying the enemy. And the enemy just laughs about that stuff because we make ourselves susceptible to what the enemy is doing. Now, let me ask you this. Now, I still believe, without a doubt, that we are having a hard time believing that the enemy is real. But I want to share with you Deuteronomy chapter 28. I want you to go home and read about it because there's a list, chapter 28, there's a list of curses that come upon people when we participate in the enemy's camp. Read those things. Know how serious it is because the enemy hates you and he's going to do everything he can to get you to be involved with his curses. Remember, I told you about Balaam, that Balaam was, he tried to curse. I've talked about this in the past. He tried to curse the people of God, and God wouldn't let him do that. You know why? Because they were walking right before the Lord, and he couldn't curse them. He tried. He wanted to because he wanted that money. And he couldn't curse them. But what he came up with was a scheme. And his scheme was he got the pagan women who worshiped other gods. And he brought them. He connected them with the young men of the camp. And those young men began to have relations, sexual relationship with those women. And they began to have worship those other gods. And you know what happened? They brought a curse upon themselves. That's what I'm trying to warn you against. The enemy can't get to you if you stay on God's side. But as soon as we open ourselves up and we start fooling around with these things, the enemy has inroads into our life, into our children, into our family. Now I'd like to use one last illustration. Stand with me because I'm going to finish this up. I know that people do not necessarily believe in the enemy. It's hard, I know, to get past the cartoon images that we've seen and the ridicule that our society will bring up on people who believe that Satan is real and he's operating in people's lives today. But we've got to get ourselves to the point where we recognize what really is evil. Now, let me ask you something. How many in this congregation believe since 9-11, when was that, 2001, when that took place, the Twin Towers were attacked? How many of you believe that Osama bin Laden is a good guy? No one in here. Osama bin Laden was a bad guy, right? We all agree with that. He helped perpetrate the attack on the Twin Towers, and he was involved with Al-Qaeda and terrorist organizations. Do you know that every year during the time of the attacks, there are terrorist groups and organizations that are celebrating that attack. They throw parties. Now, let me try to associate this a little bit. How ridiculous would it be if we, at that time, because we're very opposed to what happened, we believe lives were lost and it was an attack on our society. How ridiculous would it be for us to dress up in little costumes, terrorist costumes, look like Osama bin Laden or some kind of terrorist, throw a party and party with the enemy who hates this country, share candy and fruit and whatever. How ridiculous would that be? We wouldn't even think of it, would we? And yet, every year, this time of year, that's exactly what thousands and thousands of Christians are doing. The enemy is a liar and he's a thief and he's trying to destroy the lives of people who will unknowingly, many times, allow him into their life. So I want to say to you today, if you've been involved in any kind of occult activity, renounce that. Repent. Cry out to the living God. He will forgive you, deliver you, and set you free, and you'll be on the track of God's blessings rather than the curses. But if you continue in those things, and you know that you're involved, even if you don't know, even if you didn't know up until this point, you were wide open to the enemy's attacks. God wants to deliver people and set them free. Today is a day to recognize where we are in our life. Repent. Turn back to the living God. Receive the power of God in your life. Let's bow your head. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just thank you. People are listening to you this morning. They hear and they listen to this message. And Lord, I don't like preaching message like this. I'd rather preach happy and faith-filled messages. But these things are necessary for us to talk about. So today we just lay it all on the table so that people will know what is satanic and ungodly and they'll turn away from it. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I rebuke anything that the enemy has tried to bring into people's lives today as they repent before you and ask for your forgiveness. They are free and the enemy will not have his way in their life. They're free because they're free indeed through the truth. Jesus is Lord, and there's deliverance in Jesus' name. And we give you glory and honor. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Give him praise. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and his kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.